This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
May I now invite Sister Mei Sing to come up and do the scripture reading for us from John 14.
Good morning. Today's passage is John 14, verses 15 to 31. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to keep you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. This is God's word.
Thank Josh for leading us and Mason for reading today's passage for us. A very good morning to everyone. Good morning. It's always a joy and privilege to be with God's people, and I hope you are sitting with someone today. Now, we're going to go to John 14 today, and if you have the Bible, it'll be great if you keep it open. If you're using the church Bible, it's page 1082. Now, if you want a longer sermon outline, it's right in the bulletin, because today's slides will be far and few, but I'd like to invite you to look deeper into the passage with me. So keep the passage open, and we're going to ask God to help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you that you've given us your word, and we are so thankful that your Spirit works in your people, that we may hear, we may read, and we may understand, and that we may be strengthened because you strengthen us. This morning, as we begin to unpack and read and learn about the third person of the triune God, that God, you help us to understand the Holy Spirit and His work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder if you have ever felt that gut-wrenching fear, that sinking fear that you are being left behind. Maybe as a child and a mole back then with no handphones and just loudspeakers, when you turn around, your parents were nowhere to be found. Or later in life, when someone close that you trust walked away from your life. That gut-wrenching feeling of just being left behind. Now, my children, when they first started to take the public bus from school home, they were in primary school, we got them those cheap watches that can call, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and text. I bought it from QOO10, doesn't exist anymore. But we thought it was a good idea because they would then never feel stranded or lost or abandoned. The help is just one call away. Well, it really sounded like a great idea until the watches just malfunctioned all the time. I'm glad that they didn't feel traumatized, or they didn't tell me. But I remember that gut-wrenching feeling when I first heard from my late grandmother about her life, how she became an orphan as a kid, as a child in India. No parents, no relatives. The only person she has is her sister, who was barely, an older sister, who was barely a teenager. There was a gut-wrenching feeling when I heard about how her life was when mine was so comfortable. Now, being abandoned or left behind is one of our human deepest fear. And Jesus knows this. So this morning, as we look at John 14, it's just hours before he would be arrested and crucified. He turned to his disciples in the upper room where they had the Last Supper, and he told them, "You'll never be alone. I will never leave you as orphans." How? Because he will ask the Father who will send the Spirit to them. Now, Jesus is not just giving them some cheap watches that will fail them, but a person from heaven who will never leave them. And this promise is further extended to all of us who love Jesus. Now, friends, how do we know God will always be with us? How can we trust that Jesus will be near to help us when he isn't physically here? In fact, let's go to a more basic question. If you're not yet a Christian, how do we know God if we cannot see God? Now, that's the heart of today's passage. Because for Christians, it's going to tell us that we'll never be alone, we'll never be abandoned. And for everyone, there is a way to know God. And today, we're going to see this truth from John 14, 15 to 31. Now, I'm going to give you the three truths that we are going to look at. Number one, the Holy Spirit advocates and more for us. Number two, the Holy Spirit teaches. In fact, he brings to mind Jesus' word. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit enables us to love Jesus. Look at the passage with me. It begins in verse 15 and he says this, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Now, just two verses before this, Jesus said to the disciples, "Ask anything in my name and I'll do it." But here, just right after that, he himself decides that he will ask on their behalf. And the question is, why does Jesus ask on their behalf when he already asked that they can, told them that they can ask in his name? And I think the reason is this, because the disciples would never be able or know how to ask for this request. What did Jesus ask on their behalf? Look at the verse, "For another advocate to come to them." So we ask the question, who is this advocate? What does Jesus mean by another advocate? Now, we're told this advocate is also known, verse 17, as the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth is not a thing. It's not like a watch, a phone, or some spiritual fuel that fills you up to keep you going for another day. No, the Spirit of Truth is a person. Look at the verses right after that Jesus used the phrase him again and again, that he is a person. Now, why does Jesus introduce the Spirit as another advocate, suggesting that the disciples have already met one advocate and this is the second advocate? Who is the first advocate? Well, John wrote about them in John chapter 2, which we read just now. This is what John said. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So Jesus himself is the first advocate that they have already walked with and met with and knew. And as Jesus is about to leave his disciples, he asked God the Father to send another advocate just like him to be with his disciples. Now we want to ask this question: what is an advocate? What does an advocate do? Well, let me give us a bit of a definition to think about. An advocate is someone who is on your side to help you. And in a legal or courtroom context, the advocate will support you, has your interest in heart. He advises you what you should say and do. He knows the law, he knows you, your circumstances, and he's there to defend you. So that is an advocate. So in 1 John 2, right on the screen, we are told that Jesus cares for us and he is the advocate before God the Father. So imagine a courtroom scene in heaven. We are on trial, you and me, we are on trial, and we are instructed not to sin. Fail, the evidence is indisputable. You can't get away with it. And the advocate comes along, he looks at the case and he says, valid, guilty, but I pay for this sin, and this sin, and this sin. They are valid, and that is why he died on the cross for this person. Now, Jesus is the advocate next to the Father. In life, you and I, we often feel accused, sometimes unhappily by others, but often by our own hearts. That your hearts accuse you. We are accused by the world, by people around us, but it is the guilt residing in our hearts that accuse us the most. So even as Jesus advocates for us in heaven, the Spirit, another advocate here, like Jesus, comes to help us and defend us right here in this life. And in times of trial, he defends us against the world. Matthew 10:20, Jesus said, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. He will defend us in this world. In times of temptation, the Spirit, the advocate, he protects and defends us against ourselves, our own fleshly desires. Listen to Romans 8:13, by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body. And in times of guilt, you know how guilt feels like? In times of guilt, he defends us from the devil's powerful accusation, so that we will not fall into utter despair and that we may recover. Not long after this, Jesus is going to pray for Peter so that he will not be sieved around, because he is going to fall very badly. But at the end of John in chapter 21, he does pick up, and we know how Peter was raised up from his despair because the advocate was there for him. And so the Holy Spirit with us here does that. This is what Romans 8 says, by him, the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, who will stand between us and the devil's powerful accusation? And sometimes they are very true. And it will be the Holy Spirit that defends us. Now, the Holy Spirit is our advocate. Well, actually, he is way more than just advocate. The Greek word that's being translated as advocate in NIV is a very good word, but it carries a much richer meaning. So if you go to Bible translation and search this verse, you get all attempts to capture the meaning of the Greek word by translating as helper, comforter, counselor. And this week, I was just looking at the Amplified Bible. I've never looked at Amplified Bible. They try to capture everything, and they couldn't. So this is how they literally write it in the Amplified Bible. Let me just show it to you what they say. He says, I'll give you another helper, and then they put bracket, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. I don't know what standby, but standby to be with you forever. Now, what this is saying is that the Holy Spirit who comes, and what we translate as advocate, is way more than all that we can try to comprehend in a single word. He will be all that Jesus has been to his disciples. And that's why in verse 19, if you look at it, Jesus can say this in verse 19, I will not leave you as orphans. Meaning, yes, I'm going away, but you will not be abandoned like an orphan. You will not be abandoned because the Holy Spirit will be your advocate. He will, verse 16, look at it, help you and be with you forever. Now, Jesus will continue to speak about the Spirit right through to chapter 17 over the next few weeks. Today, he's going to carry on this and look at what he says. He says that the world cannot accept him because the world cannot see him and does not know him. But then he looks at his disciples and says, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Now, the question comes up, why? Why can't the world accept the Spirit, but why can the disciples even know him? Because Jesus says that you know him. Well, the answer is in verse 17. Verse 17, the Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. But here's what we know. The world will not accept the Spirit of Truth in the same way that they will and have not accepted Jesus, who said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. But why can the disciples know the Spirit of Truth? Because they already know Jesus. They already believe that he is truth. And because they know Jesus, they will know God's Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. Now, the world cannot accept the Spirit of Truth, but the believers can accept the Spirit of Truth because the world has no relationship with truth, but the believers who believe in Jesus has a relationship with truth. And so in the same breath, Jesus gave the same explanation on himself. Look at verse 19. And so he says in the same way, before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. What does Jesus mean by the world cannot see me, but you can see me? Well, in a media sense, it's true that Jesus will rise from the dead. He didn't go around showing the world. He showed to his disciples for 40 days. But it is way more than that because he's saying, even when I leave, you will see me. You will see me. And this is possible because the Spirit dwells with them. And so verse 20 continues. On that day, what is that day? It's the day when the Spirit comes, which if you look at the Bible in Acts 2, is the day of the Pentecost, which is just 49 days from this upper room account. It's very near. It's just 49 days from this. But he says this, on that day, the disciples, they will realize something very astonishing in this verse, verse 20. Jesus, look at verse 20. This is the astonishing verse we need to capture. I, that is Jesus, am in the Father. Well, he already said that. If you're here just a few verses back, 2 weeks ago, he already said that he's in the Father. So this is what they've heard. I'm in the Father. But the next part, they've never heard this before. He continues, and you are in me, and I am in you. What it means is that when the Holy Spirit comes, the disciples are drawn into the amazing relationship that Jesus has with the Father. It was exclusive. That the Father and Jesus, they have this exclusive relationship. The Father is in the Son is in the Father. But this time round, as he says that the Spirit is going to come and dwell in you, he says, and you will then be in me and I in you. That is only possible when the Spirit comes. Now, we want to ask this question up to this point. Who actually gets the Holy Spirit? Up to this point, he's in upper room speaking to the disciples. And we want to ask, do we have a share? So in the context, he is first speaking to his disciples. But when you look at verse 21, he extends this very special relationship to everyone who loves Jesus. Do you know who are those who have the Holy Spirit? They're the ones who love Jesus. Look at verse 21. Whoever, that is all who have Jesus' commands and keep them, because they love Jesus, they will share in the love of the Father and the love of Jesus the Son, and Jesus will show himself to those who are his. Now, the disciples have been asking questions, and no doubt everyone wants to get a shot at asking Jesus questions. So the moment Jesus says, and I will show myself to him, guess what? Judas, not Judas Iscariot, he said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Meaning, why not show everyone? Why to us? You want to know the answer? The answer is right there in verse 23. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And verse 24, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. In other words, Jesus is saying that he's showing of himself is actually conditional. Or to be more specific, he's showing himself is actually relational. It is relational. He will show himself to those who love him. So just as the world could not see who Jesus was while he was with them, remember all the chapters back, they could not see who Jesus was because they did not love Jesus nor his teaching. So it will continue to be. But for those who love Jesus and love his teaching, they will see Jesus. Now we're going to ask the next question. How does it happen? And the answer is back to the Holy Spirit, the advocate, because he will reveal Jesus to those who love Jesus. So look at verse 25, 26. Let me read it for us. All this I've spoken while still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Now, the disciples, they know and see Jesus as the truth while he's still with them. But even when Jesus leaves, they will continue to see Jesus as who he is because of the advocate, because of the Holy Spirit. It's not disappeared and forgotten. They will continue to see Jesus because the Holy Spirit, the advocate, will teach them all things and remind them of everything that Jesus has said to them. How does that apply? First of all, it is to the first disciples. Clearly, that is meant that the Spirit will teach the first disciples and remind them of everything Jesus said to them in person. Now, we're not there, but they were there. And the Spirit will remind them and teach them everything that Jesus has said in person. Things they have forgotten, things that they have not understood. And the Spirit will remind them. Now, we see in the Gospel of John, John himself will show us this throughout. Right back in John chapter 2, John wrote this. Jesus said, destroy the temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. And they didn't understand what it means. But it was later on that, as John writes, he says, now I know what it means. It's Jesus' body that he will die and be risen. In fact, John 12, in the grand entrance to Jerusalem, everybody was waiting for this political king, and Jesus found himself a young donkey and walked in, And John wrote right there in John 12, he says, we had no idea why he was riding a donkey. But when Jesus was glorified, we totally got it. No wonder in 1 Timothy, Apostle Paul says, all scripture is God-breathed, because it is God-breathed, that the Holy Spirit who enters and dwells in the apostles through the Spirit and what they know, the word that Jesus has spoken to them, wrote down the New Testament. That is why we trust the scriptures. Now, how about us? How about you and I, who are Christians, we have never seen Jesus in person. He didn't walk right next to you and ate with you and ate the fish and drank the wine in a wedding banquet. What about us? Well, the same Holy Spirit who lives in the apostles also lives in you and me. And He makes the words of Scripture alive to us. And so we are able to read and make sense of the Scriptures right here in your hand when you have the Scriptures. You know, we are able to read and make sense of what was previously offensive, impersonal, to something which is alive and precious. Now, what was foolishness when you read it impersonally as just this man dying on the cross, it becomes the most great, the most amazing wisdom, because that man on the cross died and rose and became an advocate who defends you and me in a life that we cannot get away before God. That foolishness becomes that greatest wisdom, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, even as we read God's word, that He helps us and reminds us of what Jesus says in scriptures when we are in desperation, in times that we are accused, even by the world, by the devil, by ourselves, it is the Spirit who reminds us of what God and Jesus said in scriptures and promised to us. Now, and so the Spirit and scriptures, or Spirit and Word, we receive, Jesus says, the peace from Him for our troubled hearts and our fears while we are living in this world. Now, He says this, Jesus says, the peace that He gives is not like the world, meaning that the peace through the Spirit and the Word that comes to us, they are not some ambiguous feeling. You know, you're kind of feeling unpeaceful, and on Christmas, you go to a shopping mall and hear some kind of carols, Mariah Carey, and say, so peaceful. It's not that kind of ambiguous peacefulness. It's not the temporary fragile ceasefire when two nations sign a contract, or when you had a ceasefire with your spouse back home and says, let's not quarrel for a while, or your colleagues or your children. It's not those temporary and very fragile peace. The peace, Jesus says, that He gives by the Spirit and His Word, it will drown out the noise of this world. Like you have this noise-canceling headset that my wife bought for me so that I can work without hearing all the noise outside. The Spirit and the Word drowns out all the noise of the world and tells us what is peace, that our death and judgment have been paid, that our reconciliation with Jesus, with God, is given, that there is this emptiness in humans that we try to fill with words, with things and materials. Isn't that what we do when we sing songs that goes beyond our life? I'll love you forever. The idea of forever is in our hearts and we can't feel it. We try to feel it. And Jesus says, I feel it for you when the Spirit comes, when forgiveness comes, when reconciliation with God comes, when eternal life is given to you, that it fills up this emptiness, this hole that nothing can fill. But we try to feel it. And Jesus says, I feel it for you, and you will find my peace. Now, while the world cannot see or hear Jesus by themselves, the Holy Spirit can bring this good news of Jesus and His peace to the world. Again, the Spirit doesn't just go out by Himself. He brings it through the Word. And so by the Word and truth, it goes to those who are seeking truth, and they will find it. They'll know what is true when they read the Word and the Spirit works in their hearts, that sin is real, death is real, But forgiveness is real. Restoration with God is real. In fact, keeping Jesus' commands, experiencing the love of Jesus is real. Isn't that what Jesus said in the upper room? That you love one another as I have loved you. For those who have experienced the love of Jesus, that we are called to love others, that they may experience the love of Jesus, that love is real. Now, dear friends, as we journey through this passage, there's just one more very important theme. It's been sprinkled out through us, the passage that we have not dealt with, but we need to. And it's the theme of love and obedience. It's actually sprinkled there that I've not brought us there yet, and we are going to right now on this third part. Now, Jesus, he repeatedly said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me, you'll keep my teachings. We see the theme of love and obedience right at the beginning from 15, verse 20, 21, and then 23. And finally, love and obedience comes in at the last verse, verse 31. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I want to ask, if you're a Christian, I want to ask you this question. How can we love Jesus and keep his commands? How can we love Jesus and keep his commands? If you're a Christian, I've already assumed that you want to keep Jesus' commands. It's not that you don't want to, you do. But the question is, how do we love him and keep his commands? How do we keep doing that? Come with me to the last few verses, 28 to 31. And let's hear what Jesus has to say to us. Look at verse 28. Look at your Bible. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you'll be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. Now, what Jesus is saying to his disciples is that you can't really hear me very well because you're grieving at this moment. You know, someone who's grieving, have you grieved before? It's very hard to hear any comfort because the pain is so great. You're grieving now because I'm going away. You can't understand what I'm saying to you now, but later, my dear disciples, you will. And the Holy Spirit will turn what looks like impossible grief and loss and turn it into the ultimate joy. For the disciples, and in turn for you, for me. Now, friend, what's the greatest grief that a human can experience? Let's do a test. What do you think is the greatest grief that you can experience? What is the greatest grief that you can experience? Probably not losing a toy or losing something. The greatest grief, I think, comes with death and separation. Death and separation. But yet, as you look around the world, Christians are the only ones who can truly understand how the greatest grief can turn to the ultimate joy. Only Christians can comprehend what that means. Now, death no longer gives us that final verdict. If it is our death, death doesn't have the final verdict to tell you you're all alone, you're going to be abandoned, and no one is going to remember you. You will be forgotten by everyone. Death no longer gives us this verdict. You know why? Because someone has taken it for us. Now, our first advocate, Jesus, the Son of God, at the cross, he cried out the very words you and I will be too afraid to say because we're afraid that it will become true. What did Jesus say on the cross? He said the words that we are too afraid to say because we're afraid it become true. He said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he said that so that his believers will never have to say it again. Jesus knew what he must do when he described, he descended from his glory to be like us. Jesus knew he must go through what he has to go through when he said to his disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. Now, he knew he would take our place, the place we deserve because of our sin, our rebellion, our rejection of God would give us life. And so in this great exchange, us taking his place, he taking our place, he gave us the Spirit. We who have sinned against God, we now cry, Abba, Father. While he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? No, do we see why Jesus has to make this most daring request to the Father to send the Holy Spirit? Because none of us, none of you and me, would dare to ask for this or know how to ask for this. And so he asks for the Spirit to dwell in us. That outrageous request for God's Spirit to be in us, only Jesus asked, and he did. So remember John 14:16, Jesus' request, every time when you hear the benediction, when he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and it is really the fellowship of the Holy Spirit because Jesus gave it to us. What love the Father has for us when we have a fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because when we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, so will we have the fellowship with the Father and the Son, and they make their dwelling with us. And because of the Spirit, we can rejoice that Jesus is returning to the Father, and we are not worse off, but rather we have received even more. We have the second advocate with us, reminding us Christ is our first advocate with God the Father. So Christians, let's ask this question. How can we love Jesus and keep his commands? We're going to wrap this up. I want to think about this question. How can we really love Jesus and keep his commands? If you're like me, you know exactly how weak we are as human. Those constant trials, those temptations that comes to you, those accusations of the world, the devil, your own flesh. Here's the thing. If you try to obey Jesus by greed or by guilt, it's not going to work. And maybe it can work for a little while. No, you feel so guilty, you kind of obey him for a while, or the greed, you kind of feel very strong, no hindrance, you kind of greed a bit, but it will not work. It will not work if you want to obey Jesus. Greed or guilt, they will help us, it seems a bit, but we will not be joyful when we try to obey Jesus in the trenches of life. So how can we love Jesus and will keep his commands? We turn to the Holy Spirit. We turn to the second advocate to teach and remind us that Jesus, he did not see his impending death as something that he was forced to keep, but he looked at his impending death. He says, this is what I will do and I want to do because I love the Father. Look at verse 30. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Now, what Jesus shows at his death transforms everything we can understand about love and obedience. It's not a checklist. That if we do enough, God may say, I think you love me a little bit. And when you fail, he says, kind of strike it off. It's just a failure. That is called transaction. But in relationship, it is love that drives the action. It is love that drives the action. Yes, the prince of the world, Satan, is going to enter Judas Iscariot, betray Jesus. But Jesus says, Satan has no hold over me. Because it is him who willingly died on the cross, and by his death, he not only saves us, he reveals to the world what love actually looks like. And that is what love looks like from before creation. That it has always been that love and obedience in that sense. It is part of the triune God. By the Holy Spirit, he will help us to see the love of Jesus more and more. And that is the way for us to obey. It's not by greed, not by guilt, but to see deeper and deeper the love manifested by Jesus as he loved the Father and as he loved us. You know, the Holy Spirit, through the Scripture, will help us see God's love even right from Genesis 3 when we are rebellious, right to the last few chapters of the Bible in Revelation. But even more beautifully in this destruction of our humanity that he loves and preserves us is that Jesus comes and his response of obedience rebuild everything we have destroyed and it will be completed. That it is love and the obedience of Christ that builds up. The Holy Spirit is the one, is like the person who brings the pictures, the love letters, the memories we can easily forget. And so fill our hearts with love and reminders and the assurance that God has never left us, Christ has never left us, and He loves us. Here's the thing, you will probably find it, or you may find it impossible to walk 1 mile with someone you really hate. Like you really hate, you just walk 1 mile with the person, you find it really hard. But you'll travel continents for someone that you love. And even if the distance is far, the longer it is, the longer time it takes, the longer you long for that person. And this is what Jesus did when He came from heaven to earth. To love us. To love you and to love me. So as we look at what Jesus speaks about love and commands, He tells us commands are not heavy. Commands are a revelation of the love that exists. And now we are invited into the relationship that the Son and the Father has, the love and obedience He has, and the Spirit who hears and comes and lives with us, that we are ushered in to a relationship we never had, to a kind of love that we never knew. The command was never meant to be difficult or unwilling. It can be difficult, but it's never meant to be unwilling. But it's meant to be beautiful. It's meant to build up. And Jesus says, the command that I give you is from the Father and is meant for eternal life. And so, dear friends, as we wrap up this time, as we close, the request by Jesus, the arrival of the Holy Spirit, is a request we could never have asked, but He did it on our behalf. And because of the Holy Spirit, our advocate, we will never be abandoned. We will be able to know and see Jesus and receive the peace that the world can never give. And so by the Spirit and by the Word, we can love Jesus and keep His commands when we are reminded again and again of Jesus' love for us. Tomorrow as we go to work or as we go home and we struggle, how do I keep loving Jesus? It's not with that greed or guilt, but it's a reminder and being able to see the love that Jesus has for the Father and the love the Spirit has that he comes to us, and God Himself as the love Himself, that He loved us and they love us and brought us into Him. And it is the love and deeper love and deeper knowledge of Christ that will help us to obey. If you're someone who has experienced being in love, a lot of things become joyful. When you're not, it becomes very hard. No, if your spouse says, if you love me, you're going to do my dishes, you're going to sweep the floor, you're going to pay the bills, everything. You find every day is just dreading. But if your spouse that you love says, you know, if you love me, come back home early, let's have a chat, let's go for a walk together, can you take some time off, let's go for a holiday, you're kind of like, yeah, exactly, no sweat, I love it. In both our work, both are requests. One you kind of find dready, the other one you just love doing it. And the way to love and obey Jesus is to remember that He first loved us. And that we're responding to a love that we never deserve but was given anyway. So next time as we struggle, tomorrow, tonight, next week, come back, ask the Holy Spirit to help us to remember the love of Jesus for you. Rather than say, no, hate this, I'm going to try harder. Let's go for the Holy Spirit to help us. Now as you close, I want to ask all of us to just close our eyes. I want to invite us to speak to God. Whatever your spiritual state is. If you're someone who has never known God personally, but you feel that you do want to, can invite you to ask God to make Himself known to you through His Spirit and His Word. So that when you listen or read the Bible, that God will make His Word real and personal to you. You've never known God, but you want to know Him, ask Him that His Word and His Spirit will come alive to you. Now, if you're a Christian longing to love Jesus more, longing to obey Him more, struggling with it, will you pray together that the Spirit will help you help us, that we don't rely on our willpower or guilt to try to obey, but we ask the Spirit to show us Jesus' love more clearly, more deeply, wipe off the fog in our spiritual eyes that we can see the love of Jesus, that our love for Him will grow so that our joy to obey will grow as well. Now, if you're someone listening to the Bible, you have felt nothing for God, will you do this for yourself? Will you be willing to ask God to open your spiritual eyes to see reality beyond this material world, to have just a deeper, sober realization that our life is very short? There can be a life void of relationship with God, but there is a life filled with a wonderful relationship with God the Father, Jesus the Son, through the Holy Spirit. The latter comes with an advocate who will defend you, while the former, we are on our own. Ask that God make all things real to you. Just take a moment, and then I'm going to pray with us and ask God to help us. Just take a moment to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and our Lord's obedience to You and the coming of Your Holy Spirit to us. We do not deserve Your love, but You love us anyway. Father, by Your Spirit, please wipe the spiritual windows of our eyes that we may see the love of Jesus revealed perfectly in His obedience, which result in life. Wipe away the fog from our spiritual windows. Never let our eyes be fogged up and be overcome by trials, by temptations, by guilt. For You are the advocate that lives in us. Your Spirit lives in us. And Christ, our advocate, is with You in heaven. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Help us. Heavenly Father, for those of us who do not yet know You personally, would You open our spiritual eyes that we might see what was offensive in the past to be precious to us? Help us to recognize that we are not master of our own lives, but You are, and You love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for the sermon. We now have a time for discussion questions. The first discussion question is, what does it mean to love Jesus and keep His commands? How can we do that? The second discussion question is, what have you understood about the person and the role of the Holy Spirit? Okay. So let's take the next 5 minutes to discuss that with the people around us.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.